Springfield Contemporary Theater's Missouri Solo Play Festival continues this month. I guess the final date is Sunday the 24th at SCT Center Stage at the corner of Pershing and Robertson downtown. And they're about to open the third of the three plays this month. And with me are the actor and the director, the actor, writer, and director, actually. Marsha Hasseltine is the writer and performer, and Bob Bradley is directing her in a production of Saving Rose O'Neill. All right, if you can come forward a little bit to the mic, I'd be interested to know how this... you've been working on this for years, so how did this come about?
Well, actually... I was doing the Belle of Amherst about Emily Dickinson.
Right.
At the Bentley House, which is on near Drury's campus there. And so someone in the audience said, you know, there is a woman that should also have a one-woman play written about her.
Mm.
And they said, Rose O'Neill, as a matter of fact, died about six houses down from the very house you're playing Emily Dickinson in.
Right.
So that's the beginning of the thought, anyway. So that's where the seed of the idea came from.
So how long have you been working on this?
You know, I never know how to answer that because the seed that I just mentioned started back, I hate to say this, back in the 1980s.
It's really been that long ago that
the
suggestion
seed.
First came
yes.
along?
Yes. And then it, you know, laid somewhat dormant. I mean, we started doing some things to gather information and to find out about her, to also contact the family. And that's where we got the source material for the journals and the memoirs.
Well, that's the thing. A project like this takes a huge amount of research if you're going to do it right.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I was very interested in research, and I enjoyed that, actually. And there were four novels to read. There were all of her correspondence letters that her great-nephew, David O'Neill, has in the Galway History Museum that he runs. So I read through every single piece of correspondence he had. So I think I got – I narrowed my focus, I guess you would say, about 2006, somewhere in there, where I really started getting all that research together and going through it and, you know, making notes and all of that.
Had you ever attempted before to write a play?
No. No.
Oh.
Not at all. In fact, I was hoping someone else might be writing this play, actually, from the beginning. One of my brothers said, you know, why don't you do it? And I said, oh, that's not my natural way of expression.
Right, yeah.
You know? But anyway, I thought, well, let's give it a whirl because the...
Well, nobody else had done one.
Well, and the character was there. I had the source material.
Right.
I was willing to do the research, and not everyone enjoys that aspect. But I do, and so it kind of fell together.
And I would say that that Marsha has constructed an amazing journey for the audience, introducing this quite fascinating woman. And I think many people in Springfield, the name of Rose O'Neill just, you know, may sort of lurk somewhere there.
Oh, yeah, Cupid dolls.
A Cupid doll, and that is it. There is a slight biography of O'Neill, and it's called Rose O'Neill, More Than the Cupid Lady. Well, this is what the audience is
about to discover,
unless they know something, is going to be absolutely surprised over that, how wonderfully fascinating this woman was. And as Marsha has already indicated, and that is that not only was she a visual artist and a very highly, I think, far more accomplished visual artist than most people know.
Also
but a
writer.
Visual artist. And as Marsha mentioned, she wrote four novels. She also published a book of poems, 1920-21, somewhere along
Short
there.
Short stories.
She had stories. Of course, and she was a cartoonist, that is, within the visual artist, but not only within the visual work. She was a cartoonist. She was the first female cartoonist in this country, if not in the world. She at one time was the highest paid illustrator because in the days before photographs, artists did illustrations
For the newspaper.
The Puck and Ladies' Home Journal,
sure,
and
magazines.
Whatever those other magazines were. And she did illustrations for them. So, I mean, Marcia introduced me to this woman, and I find her just a wonderful woman to learn about.
Did you find the same thing when you were researching her then?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. She's a wonderful character for the theater because she is very eccentric and was ahead of her time. One thing I'll throw in, too, as far as her artwork is concerned.
Yes.
In 1906, she was elected associate member to the Société des Beaux-Arts in France, in Paris,
yes,
which is their national gallery. And most people who exhibit their artwork there have to be juried. But she was elected associate member, meaning she could hang any of her artwork in the National Gallery
in Paris
until she died. So that was what she had the honor of. And for someone to that, you know, had that talent, I would love for people to, you know, become aware of her.
And then, of course, the other thing, and let's tie her back into where we are, and that is in this area.
Right.
Her first, the family came, and I've forgotten the date. The family came, her father bought the land down north of Branson, and Rose's, by that time, she was in Philadelphia and then in New York. But her first visit here was in 1896, I think.
Yes,
that's
I
the
think
right
that,
date.
1896,
so
yeah.
From 1896 until she died in 1944, I mean, she is a part of this area also.
Oh, yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Bonnybrook. Now, you're taking up her story late in life.
Yes.
Very late in life, actually.
Yes.
It was 4 years before her death.
You're right.
Spring of 1940. What is happening in Rose O'Neill's life at this point?
Well,
it's not as rosy, is it?
It's not as rosy.
Yeah. She's broke. That's
She's
what's
broke.
Happening.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Her money. She was a very generous woman and did give a lot of her money away quite easily.
To the point of flamboyancy.
Yes. And she was flamboyant. She, as a young person, she did not have money. Her family did not have money growing up. So
right.
in a sense, this was kind of a constant state of affairs in a way, in her mindset. So that, therefore, when she became a millionaireess, sometimes people, you know, are not sure how to quite deal with that. So anyway, but of course, the Great Depression came in there and, you know, different factors.
Which by 1940 we were just coming out from
yes.
under the Great Depression and things were still not great financially anyway.
Yeah.
She had something like $26 in her bank account
exactly.
at this point.
Yes,
good
exactly.
heavens.
Well, in fact, if you want to know the detail that Marcia has done her research, that figure which he uses is the actual amount of money that Marcia discovered that was in her bank account when she died.
$26.76.
That's what yeah. in her list of assets of the property that she had at
yeah.
the time. That was the amount of money that she had
yeah,
that in the bank account.
In the Taney County City Clerk's office.
Well, her finances had dried up, but had her artistic resources dried up at the same time?
In some respects. I don't want to give too much away,
sure.
but what would you say?
Well, I would say one of course, her major part of her income came from the illustrations in magazines. Well, by the 1930s, photography had begun to take over, so the need for a magazine illustrator, and it was no longer there.
Right.
And so
that was a major part of her income. Yeah,
that source was pretty much gone.
Mm-hmm. And she did not like the idea of selling her artwork, which is another factor here. Therefore, her artwork was not dispersed as other artists have been throughout the country, and collectors, et cetera, et cetera. So
even if it was hanging in galleries, it wasn't for sale necessarily.
Exactly. Mm. She would rather give it to a friend or loan it versus sell it for money. Yeah.
So as a one-person show, what can people expect to see?
A very fine performance.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, you're playing the elderly Rose O'Neill, and do we meet anybody else in her family or in her sphere of influence?
Yes. How would we answer that?
I mean, she creates Rose O'Neill. Yeah. But what also happens is then, of course, is that she moves back and forth in time. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, one of the stories that she tells that she creates is Rose's first trip to the Ozarks in 1896, and her family coming into Springfield to get her. I assume she took the train to Springfield. Is that the way she got here?
Yes.
And then they came up to get her. It was a two-day trip. It was an overnight trip.
To get 30 miles.
That had to be done. Because, of course, they were in a horse-driven or horse-pulled wagon. And so this was an overnight trip to come get her. And so she tells stories of that. So she moves. Yes, it takes place in 1940.
But you're getting a review of her entire life as we go through.
Exactly. And Rose remembers these events and portrays these characters that you're referring to.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Saving Rose O'Neill opens tonight at 7:30 in the SCT Center Stage space at the corner of Pershing and Robertson. And a special solo play festival pricing. Single tickets are $20 for adults, $18 for seniors and students, and then the $10 student rush beforehand. And how many performances will you give between this weekend and next?
Yeah, well, this weekend she opens tonight.
Yes.
And she plays tomorrow afternoon, Saturday afternoon. Then the second of the plays, Ben Carney's Everybody Dies, plays Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. And then that finishes Ben's performances. Then Rose returns, and to some extent what is unusual for Contemporary Theater is that there will be a Thursday performance next week.
Okay.
So she plays Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday matinee. So there are four performances next weekend.
But there's no Saturday matinee next week.
There's no Saturday matinee next week.
But you will do Thursday through Saturday nights, and then the Sunday matinee on the 24th, and that will be. So you have the entire final weekend of the festival to yourself.
Yes.
Well, again, you can call because I haven't mentioned the phone number yet. You can call Springfield Contemporary Theater for information at 831-8001. There's a complete listing of performance dates and times also at springfieldcontemporarytheater.org, where you can also purchase tickets. And as you said, Ben Carney's Everybody Dies is also, he's wrapping his production up, his one-person show this weekend. Springfield Contemporary Theater's first Missouri Solo Play Festival taking place this month. I have a feeling Lou is probably going to want to maybe look into doing something like this in the future. I would hope he would.
We'll get through this one first, then we'll worry about it.
There you go. Bob Bradley is directing Marcia Hasseltine in the play that she wrote for herself, Saving Rose O'Neill, and it opens tonight at 7:30 at SCT Center Stage. Have we left any important information out that you'd like to?
No, we just hope everybody decides to come see us.
All right. Appreciate you all coming in this morning.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Randy.